You found the business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines metro. The Business News Hour from Inside Advertising, Marketing, and Communications and the training team at Tarot International. Learn the skills necessary to improve your career and your business at Tarot. That's Tarot.com. T-E-R-O.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Something that is unique to, well, Iowa and the Des Moines metro. We are the only daily business news broadcast in the Midwest outside of Chicago. I think that's pretty amazing, and thank you so very much for finding us and listening to the Business News Hour each day, Monday through Friday, from 5:05 until 6 o'clock. We certainly do appreciate that. Well, this weekend, former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley was in Des Moines. We caught up with him at Drake University. Now, while the Business News Hour doesn't do politics, we are interested in his take on the issue of Democrats and politics, the economy, and jobs, and voting. How do all those things come together? We asked him. Here's that interview.
We're with Governor Martin O'Malley, who's made another trip to the Hawkeye State to visit with all kinds of people across the state from border to border and river to river. Governor, welcome back to Iowa.
Oh, it's great to be in Iowa again. Made a lot of friends in Iowa.
You certainly did. You know, we do a business news broadcast here on the Business News Hour, and one of the questions I've asked several individuals who have crisscrossed Iowa over the past couple of years is business tends to take a look at Democrats with a jaundiced eye. And they say, well, Democrats are anti-business. What does Governor Martin O'Malley say to that?
I think the most important measure of economic success are jobs. Opportunities for our people. I mean, when 85% of economic activity is fueled by consumer demand, we can expect a more robust level of growth if we continue to allow wages to decline. So when I was governor, our goal was always job creation, and we outperformed our neighbors north and south on that metric. And if you look at the presidents that we've had throughout modern history, call it post-World War II, we've actually always had a higher level of job creation under Democratic presidents than we have had under Republican presidents. So that's what history has shown us. I think in any sort of pro-business, pro-economic, pro-job set of policies, one always has to be mindful of the balance. It's an ecosystem, right? I mean, there's no one lever. You have to properly protect the air, the water, the land that we all depend upon. But at the same time, you also have to be mindful that without a job, there is no progress. And so that's the way I have governed.
One of the things that you said here at Drake University this past weekend was the importance of civics in the classroom. And you were talking about voting rights. How does that impact how we go about our daily business life? With regard to more people being involved in the process?
Yeah, great question. I suppose just as our economy works best when people are more fully participating in that economy, spending, saving, investing, creating, I think our democracy works best when people are invested. And the primary means of that investment is actually going to vote and speaking up and understanding the common life we share on issues of public policy that affect the sort of schools our kids have, the sort of the security of the food that comes to our tables, and all sorts of other things. What's happened, I've seen in recent years, is that in our drive to improve reading and math and science and technology and engineering, we have somewhat crowded out social studies and an understanding of how citizens affect change and how this common platform of ours, whether it's a country, whether it's a city, whether it's a state or a county, actually functions to deliver the sort of basic security needs and public education that every family depends upon to some degree.
One of the things that you brought up, and I think it surprised many of the individuals who were in the audience today, was there is no constitutional amendment with regard to voting. And you'd like to see something like that fostered, if not on the federal level, but on the state level as well. Can you explain that?
Sure. There is no constitutional right to vote. It doesn't appear anywhere in our U.S. Constitution. We have extended the franchise, the ability for women to vote. That was certainly an amendment, and there have been other amendments to the Constitution. But in the absence of that very high bar declaring a constitutional right to vote, you see state after state doing insidious things that sound, that sound innocuous enough on the face of it to require a photo ID in order to vote. But that has a very disproportionate impact on poor families, on older people, on college students, and has the effect of actually disenfranchising large numbers of people. The notion that somehow there's massive voter fraud going on out there is a myth for which there is absolutely zero support. But nonetheless, state after state, including I think Iowa, is starting to go down this road of putting up more barriers to voting. I believe we need to be making it easier for people to vote, not harder. Our problem in this country isn't that too many people vote, it's that too few people vote.
And at that level, you think a constitutional amendment, or at least the awareness of that, should push more people to the polls?
Yeah, look, on two scores. I mean, first of all, I do believe that it's important that whenever a law is passed that puts additional requirements on voting, whether it's a poll tax or whether it's voter ID or whether it's, yet to stand on your head and gargle peanut butter and spit nickels. I mean, there should be a very high bar to anything that any state legislature would pass that would make it harder for people to vote. So as a legal matter, having that threshold there would actually overcome some of the damage that was done when the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act recently. But on another score, as a Democrat, as somebody who's tired of always being on the defense, I believe that we need to act and have an offense. You know, no football team succeeds just with a good defense, or at least not many of them. And so if we were pushing in every single state this notion, resolution supporting a constitutional right to vote, I think that would say very clearly to people that the Democratic Party is a party that stands for inclusion, economic inclusion, as well as political inclusion of all individuals.
Thank you very much, Governor Martin O'Malley.
Thank you, Michael. Good to see you again.
That, of course, Governor Martin O'Malley, former governor of Maryland, who was in town. Once again, he crisscrossed the state of Iowa on behalf of several individuals in fundraising efforts, and we caught up with him at Drake University. He was speaking to a room full of not only students, but also interested people. You know, here in Iowa, we do have that pleasure of having, well, that first-in-the-nation caucus, and some people don't forget about that, and apparently Governor Martin O'Malley is one of those individuals. Martin O'Malley on the Business News Hour talking about the economics of voting, of the economics of business, and the economics of fair wages. Interesting stuff. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about wages a bit, well, at least stock market wages. What happened today on Wall Street? That's coming up next here on the Business News Hour with the Wall Street Report.